Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Thursday morning. Switching gears now, talking some college football. And to help us do that, we bring in Chris Vanini from The Athletic, also a Michigan State alum as well, which I'm learning, Joe. I mean, the Michigan State people are everywhere, Chris. This is unbelievable.
Michigan State Mafia.
That's right. And I know they were all over Tennessee as well.
And
Joe and I go way back.
Yes. And by the way, you know, the Michigan Daily, the U of M, that's we have a football game every year with them, and they usually beat us because they have a way bigger staff. I have a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
But we had an alumni game. Gosh, how long ago was that, Chris? Like probably about 9 years ago now.
Maybe. 2011, I think.
Rexrode to Vanini all over the field, dropping bombs. We destroyed them that night. I'm still living on that one, Vanini. You ran some great routes out of the slot that night.
And Joe was great even when he got injured and went to the hospital.
You went to the hospital?
I did.
What happened?
I broke a finger and separated his shoulder, but it was well worth it.
That's dedication right there, my friend. Very nice. Chris, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. Just the reaction you had to UConn officially canceling their football season yesterday. What was your reaction when you saw that news?
I wasn't stunned. I had done a story on UConn a couple days prior where I was talking to Randy Edsall, their head coach, and he had said, you know, he was going to leave this decision up to the players. He felt that not enough people across college sports were doing that. That was right before the Pac-12 Unity stuff came out. So he wanted players to make a decision, and he also had a lot of skepticism on how exactly a season was supposed to happen. It was taking 10 to 12 days for UConn to get tests back. They were isolating players. They didn't have any positive tests, but it was just less than a third of the team was able to do every workout. He said nobody had told him how they were supposed to do games, locker room, social distancing, that kind of stuff. So when the news came down yesterday morning, I wasn't totally surprised. UConn's also a little unique as an independent program that has been losing money, but it's still a pretty big deal that an FBS college football program has shut down its season.
Yeah, Chris, you also did a story, really interesting story recently on officials. We don't think about officials, but not much during everything else that's going on. But for one thing, you've got a lot of guys in there who are higher risk, yep, of course, older, and there's a ton of, you know, protocols and changes and challenges for them if a season happens. Explain some of those that you found out in this piece.
Yeah, I mean, we know the teams are going to have to do different things. We know the coaches are as well, but the referees are, like I said, they're in a vulnerable age group. They're not contracted, or they're contractors. They get paid per game. And so they're trying different things. Refs are going to probably drive to games, so they're figuring out who lives near what teams. They're not going to have handheld whistles that you blow. They're going to use an electronic button. You got to wear masks. They're going to get tested just like everybody else before the games. They're going to have their meetings generally over Zoom the night before in case somebody gets sick. They're practicing in case they get down to as many as six people. So they have a lot of changes going on as well. Conferences usually run the referee groups. They may switch between each other just based on locations and overlaps like that. So replay officials are their biggest concern in terms of the age group. They're generally the oldest people, and they've told people, you know, you can opt out this season and it won't affect your status. A couple of them have, it sounds like, but not many, and everybody's just kind of hoping that they can get to the season.
Chris Vanini on the line with us from The Athletic. And, Chris, yesterday the Big Ten players come out with their letter in the Players Tribune. We saw something similar earlier in the week from the Pac-12. What's been your reaction to the players in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 coming out with their list of requests and demands, and what have you made of the players kind of speaking up through all this?
Yeah, it's really a continuation of what we've seen for a number of months now in terms of players realizing that they have a bigger voice and that they have leverage right now because administrators need a season to happen. It was a number of months ago we'd see players speak out about what they saw as racial disparities or racial injustice on their team or in their city. You know, Iowa, Clemson, Oklahoma State, stuff like that. And so this is, it's kind of the next step of that, and it's more organizing with everybody else. The Pac-12 obviously was a wide variety of demands, stuff that involved revenues and endowments and stuff like that, along with COVID-19 safety and protocols. The Big Ten one was just about the safety and the protocols, and that one seemed both more reasonable and stuff that could get done or was already getting done, stuff like testing three times a week, stuff like a medical red shirt if someone has to miss something. So they already have or at least players have a line to Kevin Warren right now. He's already been speaking to a number of athletes. The night before the schedule came out, he talked to at least one player on every team. So there has been a dialogue there. It sounds like there's going to be more going forward. So, and it doesn't sound like the Big Ten players are threatening to sit out yet, at least compared to the Pac-12 one, which did. But this is just continuing. Players are realizing more and more that they have leverage and that they have power when they organize.
No question. I mean, I'm waiting for the SEC players. They're next up on this. But I think, yeah, there was a big difference there, obviously, with the Big Ten statement. There were a couple things on the Pac-12 list of demands that aren't realistic at this point. I do hope, Chris, I've been saying this all week, that all this stuff serves to strengthen the name, image, likeness, inevitability that is coming, that I feel like the NCAA has already made it clear. They fought against it, of course, all along, but also, you can see they want to cap it. They're going to try to limit as much as possible. You make that an open market, and a lot of these other things are not really issues anymore. And do you think that there's – am I making too much of a leap to think that some of this stuff maybe benefits that?
Yeah, the Pac-12 one mentioned that as well, but the Pac-12 doesn't really have that type of ability to make that decision. But yeah, I mean, name, image, likeness is something that, it's the Olympic model, and they could have done it college sports could have done this years ago and saved itself all sorts of troubles that we get to at some point, because the more and more you're denying stuff to these kids, the more and more they're going to organize and eventually demand even more than that. So it's weird because the NCAA kind of supports it, kind of doesn't. They want Congress to sort of write the bill, then they want Congress to approve their bill. They want an antitrust exemption, which is a big part of this. And it's just been a complete mess. On top, you throw that on top of everything that's been going on this year, and Congress has more important things to do right now, and yet the NCAA is really trying to get them involved. So I don't know how and when this is going to end. It has to end with players getting their name, image, and likeness rights. I'm just not exactly sure how we get there yet.
Well, you knew you were going to get this question. What's going to happen, Chris? Are we having a college football season this fall, this spring, at all? Give me your crystal ball.
I guess at the beginning of August, I was like 50-50 that we get to the start of the season. Finishing the season is a whole other issue that seems very difficult. But are we going to start the season? I'm a little less than 50-50 right now. But it's just the big question everybody has is, regular students come back to campus in 2 weeks in most places, and is there going to be a large outbreak? Generally, what college students do, that tells us it's probably going to happen. Are there going to be outbreaks on a lot of teams? Is it going to be on just a couple teams? That's the big question. Nobody knows. They put out the schedules for the most part so far, and it makes you feel like the season's almost here. It makes it feel like it's real. But every commissioner we've talked to has been basically like, this is just a snapshot in time. Things could change a week from now. Things could change a couple days from now. They just want to kind of get that ball rolling just in case we get to the end of August and the season can be played. But there are a lot of athletic directors and commissioners who are doubtful we can get there. We're just going to have to wait and see. And put our faith in college kids to be safe and sanitary. So, yeah.
not very inspiring.
So, yeah, that's actually a good motto for 2020. So, yeah.
Chris Vanini from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time to join us, man. We appreciate it. And thanks again for educating us on the legendary Rex Road to Vanini connection. I mean, that's outstanding stuff.
Absolutely. Great memories. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, appreciate you. When we come back, we'll dive into a little bit of what the Big Ten did yesterday in terms of their players coming out with their list of demands and requests of their conference. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.